This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting live worldwide. And this program focuses on the interests of people of European descent. However, it is a program, I think, that is valuable for all people on the planet, and we European people who have a heritage from the European continent, whether we live in Europe or America or in Russian Asia, or whether we live in Australia or New Zealand or elsewhere around the world, you know, we believe in preserving our heritage and our way of life, and we certainly believe that all other people have that right. Unfortunately, the government of the United States of America and of many European countries have acted to literally destroy our own people, the people who founded those same governments, founded the culture, the heritage, the values of our respective nations. And that's precisely what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. We are, in fact, being destroyed. We are being wiped away. We're being ethnically cleansed in our own countries. We have massive immigration coming in. We have a very low and catastrophic birth rate among our people. We have intermarriage with non-Europeans. And the time is coming when Europeans will be a minority, not only in many of our major cities, as we are now in many parts of the world, in many parts of the white world, but we will be a minority in our own nations, and our nations will completely change. In Mexico, we have literally an invasion of our country. If you want to know the effects of massive immigration on a people and its freedom, just take a look at Palestine today. The Palestinians, they can tell you what immigration will eventually mean to a nation. And you know, in America, we have Reconquista going on right now. And it's kind of a very interesting phenomenon. And I can tell you that the nation that will be created in the wake of this massive immigration will be something quite alien and different from that of our forefathers. It's amazing to me when we see a man such as George Bush go to places such as Budapest, Hungary, where he has been, in fact, today, 50 years after the courageous Hungarian uprising against communist rule. Bush comes to Hungary and he makes the insane and ridiculous analogy that the Hungarian anti-Bolshevik revolution or uprising is something similar to what happened and what's going on in Iraq. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the most insane and crazy analogy I've ever heard in my life. In fact, it's an insane analogy from many standpoints. For one thing, we went into Iraq totally based on a lie. We said that Iraq was producing weapons of mass destruction, had an ongoing nuclear development program. It all turned out to be complete and total poppycock. And on that basis, we went in. We attacked probably one of the more advanced nations in the Middle East, certainly in terms of women's rights and opportunities and many other areas, one of the more secular states, and we literally bombed that nation into almost oblivion. We killed 100,000 probably civilians, no telling how many of the military. Military is important too to a country, just as our military men are still Americans, and they're our young men and women are still the sons and daughters of American citizens. We just had the terrible incident of two Americans who were tortured, mutilated, and murdered by the insurgency. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if it's called an insurgency. I think it's more of resistance. I mean, their country was invaded. And these people are now attacking Americans, and our American boys are dying. And I believe that it's terrible that our boys are over there on the basis of a lie. I think that was the greatest betrayal that could ever exist against the people of the United States of America, a betrayal where a president of the United States would send our boys and even girls today into battle and into a situation where they could lose their lives, be terribly disfigured, crippled, blinded, even emasculated. We keep alive far more than we ever did before in previous wars because of modern technical medical treatment, but these men and women are often coming back as a shell of a human being, and with terrible afflictions, terrible pain. And there's also a tremendous number of our young men and women who are coming back with severe mental problems. The Pentagon itself has estimated that well over a quarter and probably more than a third of our returning military personnel will need actual psychological, serious psychological counseling and psychological treatment over the next few years. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a situation where we've invaded a country that did not attack us in any way, that posed no threat to us. We invaded this country not for the interest of the United States of America. We didn't get one more drop of oil. If anything, we are now paying many times more in oil than what we paid before the war, and that was obvious truly from the beginning. So it wasn't a war for America. It wasn't a war for oil. It wasn't a war for our interests. It was led, of course, by the Jewish neocons such as Richard Perot and Paul Wolfowitz, Elliot Abrams. We can go on and on. Wormser, Crystal, and the whole neocon cabal in Washington, D.C. So Bush now goes to, of all places, Hungary, talks about the revolution against the Bolsheviks, against the Trotskyites, you might say, the Bolsheviks. And he compares that to the Iraq war. Now, if I have my information proper correct, and I think my information is correct, you know, David Irving did a fantastic book. And by the way, David Irving is sitting in prison in Vienna right now. And of course, President Bush was talking about freedom and so forth. I mean, he's not over. And when he went to Vienna, he didn't make any comments about David Irving sitting in prison, an historian, for making a few comments about the Holocaust, about a period in the Second World War, a historical period. By offering his opinion, David Irving is now sitting in prison for 3 years. So I think Mr. Bush has got a problem when he lectures about freedom. But obviously Mr. Bush, ignorant as he is about so many things, he has very little knowledge of the 1956 revolution, or uprising, whatever you want to call it. He should read David Irving's book, by the way, Uprising, a book which has been recommended by many publications around the world. He should read the book, Uprising, One Nation's Nightmare. And in the book, he documents the fact that the Bolshevik government in Hungary was one that was thoroughly controlled and dominated by these extremist Jewish individuals. It was very, very Jewish revolution. In fact, I mean, Jewish dominated communist government. And he points out that a great deal of the so-called 56 revolution was motivated because of a very strong sentiment against this Jewish power, because of the terrible excesses that they had committed in terms of their secret service, in terms of their forces of that government against the people of Hungary. And it's just, you know, the facts are there. In fact, if you read his book, you'll see the documentation, and it's very complete and very effective. You know, Bush goes, gives a speech, I think it was at Buda Castle on Gellert Hill, and that overlooks the Danube. And he says, quote, "America honors your courage. We've learned from your example, and we resolve that when people stand up for their freedom, America will stand with them." Well, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that the people of Hungary sacrificed their lives and had this great uprising against the Jewish Bolsheviks who were leading their country and their people to disaster. And the truth is that Bush, you know, he's on the side of the same Bolsheviks. In fact, the Trotskyites themselves have become what we call neocons or neoconservatives. I know that must sound pretty wild to a lot of you listening, but the fact is that the leaders of the neocon conservative movement were mostly former Trotskyites. Trotskyites, who saw that they had very little political opportunity or political advancement as a Trotskyite communist. And so they became, quote, Republicans, and then they moved the Republican Party in the direction or toward big government, globalist issues, and every sort of liberal leftist point of view you could possibly imagine. They literally have transformed. They've been, for instance, one of the biggest advocates of open borders for the United States of America, and against the traditional protection of our borders and our way of life in the United States of America. So the truth is that the Hungarians were who fought and died and risked their lives. They were on the opposite side of the position of George Bush, not on his side. It's just, we live in such a lie. And, of course, the media never corrects people on any of this. The media never makes people understand or helps people understand these particular issues. He also talked about Hungary's helping with the war. Of course, he didn't point out the fact that Hungary has withdrawn troops now over a year ago from the war. They too, their government has seen, that this war is insane. And the best thing that they could do for their own people is to get out of there. And boy, that's the best thing we could do too, ladies and gentlemen. We are not doing any good. And every day that goes on, and every more American is mutilated or killed, and every Iraqi suffers, it's just an insanity. And it's not doing our country any good. We should never have gotten involved in it, and we shouldn't compound this insanity by more insanity. It's I think there was a lot of tensions today because there's a lot of funny things going on. You know, if you're a Mexican or you're from South America, it's not too hard to visit and get in the United States of America. But boy, if you're a white person, a white Christian from Europe, you're in big trouble if you even want to visit. You can, a lot of the Russian people, Hungarian people, and other people just can't even visit the United States right now. It's just insane. A lot of the leaders in Eastern Europe are pressing Mr. Bush for their nations to be included in a waiver program that allows foreign citizens to visit the United States for up to three months without a visa. Now, many of these countries already allow the United States and American citizens to do the same thing. And they're also urging Mr. Bush to close the detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. But, our president doesn't want to do that. I mean, it's really kind of crazy. And they talk about skilled labor. They talk about work. We're getting these Mexicans coming in, breaking our arms, coming in by the millions, but let's definitely not allow an educated Russian person to come to the United States even for a few months, where we have a control on them, by the way. They have a passport, and we have, these people are educated and upper-level people, and the Russians can't even come and visit the United States of America. It's very, very difficult. It's very difficult for a Russian woman, for instance, to come visit America, or for a man. It's almost impossible, in fact, in many cases. And then the same thing is true in the rest of Eastern Europe as well. And I hope that Bush, in spite of all his insanities, he keeps talking about wanting to bring the economies of the world together in globalism, but we seem to get none of the benefits of that policy. And I truly believe that the European people of the world, wherever we live, we should have a greater freedom of movement. I think it's part of what we're all about. You know, America is made up of many European groups, and European heritage is what has created our country. And the percentages of the United States of America, of the different nations of Europe, have made up the core or the heartbeat of this country. And if we lose this overwhelming European heritage, whether it doesn't really matter whether we're talking about Germans or Italians or French or Spanish or Scandinavians or British and the rest, or for that matter Hungarians and Poles, Estonians, Russians, Finns. I mean, these individuals can truly assimilate into our country. We're the same origin, the same heritage. We have some differences, no question about it. But we have a very common genetic heritage. If we go back far enough, we are brothers and sisters. And time has proven in the United States that these groups can assimilate. The differences that do exist between the different European nationalities are like nothing compared to the gulf, the chasm that exists, say, between the white and black races, and the greater differences that, say, exist between the white and some of the Asian races. And by the way, I respect the other races of the world. I think that every people has a right to preserve their own heritage and their own way of life and their own culture. Look at the Japanese. They have a fantastic culture. And the Chinese, a great culture, very interesting people, and a very capable people. But the Japanese and the Chinese, they're not us. And we're not them. And China is all Chinese, ladies and gentlemen. It's all Chinese. 1.3 billion people. There's no threat to their survival. And Japan is almost all Japanese. They let a few immigrants in, something like 0.1% of the entire population. Japan's going to stay Japanese, and that country will be have the character and culture and values of Japan each generation for many generations to come. And the same thing is true of China. But ladies and gentlemen, if this immigration continues, and it seems to be continuing on and even building a headier amount of steam, if this continues on, America will change in a fortnight. Just the blink of an eye, our country's changing. And Europe is undergoing the same kind of change. I've been in Central Europe for the past few days and seeing a number of people, and it's just really been amazing, ladies and gentlemen, to see the changes. I see the changes every day. I see people, women with the scarves, you know, wrapped almost entirely around their heads and their faces. You know, I see scenes that don't look like Europe that I've never seen in Europe in my many years of coming here and going to school here and traveling here and speaking here on so many occasions. We're seeing a tremendous change in the beat of an eye. We are literally losing the very homeland, the area of the globe from which our people sprang, from which our people went and came to the New World and built, you know, one of the greatest nations and one of the freest nations the world's ever seen, the United States of America. And now, frankly, we're moving entirely in the opposite direction of what our forefathers wanted. It's funny, while Russia moves free away from the big government and the oppressive government of the Soviet era, we're moving toward more government, more control, and actually in a scheme of world domination, which again is led by these Jewish extremists, Jewish supremacists such as Paul Wolfowitz and Richard Perle and so many others that dominate so much of the American government. I hope you will continue to read and study and educate yourself, and I hope you'll do your best to get this message out to our fellow patriots, our fellow white nationalists, the men and women of our race who want to preserve their heritage and their freedom. That's what this program's all about. That's what my website, davidduke.com, is all about. And that's what my publication, The Duke Report, is about. I hope all of you will continue to work. You're on the internet right now to listen to this program. I hope you'll take and you'll work to spread the ideas. Don't simply educate yourself. You've got to educate your friends and your family if we're going to win this battle ahead. Thanks so much. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. See you later. Bye-bye.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddude.com.